The last of the sticky summer heat was almost wrung out of the day when Jack made her way to the pool exit. She sat on the curb to put on her shoes. Parents were loading their sunburned offspring into station wagons. A couple of groups of teenagers were making plans for the evening. She seemed to be the only person left with nowhere to go and nothing to do. She waved as Tess and Sim walked past, and the girls waved back without breaking off their conversation. Sean sidled up to her. "Hey, Jack, want a ride home? It won't cost you much." He leered and Jack recoiled. "Piss off, Sean. Go home and pass your pillow." Sean laughed as he left. Jack pushed her damp curls back and twisted her hair up with a red velvet scrunchie, then started the long walk home. The streetlights flickered on as she meandered down the main street of Lowbridge, illuminating the words "baby killer," which someone had scrawled across the pavement, a remnant of the day's demonstrations. Jack stepped around it, wrinkling her nose. The outside tables of Donato's Trattoria were filled with the chatter of weekend diners. "G'day, Mr. Donato," she called as she walked by. Mr. Donato waved back. "How are you doing, Jackie? You going to come in, say hello?" Jack demurred. "Not tonight. Another time I will, though." She'd briefly worked there as a waitress, but her dad and some of his mates had gone in one night and mimicked Mr. Donato's accent and been so rude to Mrs. Donato that she'd quit rather than run the risk of putting them through something like that again. She liked the Donatos. They always made time to talk to her and offer her something to eat. At the entrance of the Bottle-O, she saw her dad with a few mates loading cases of beer into the back of the ute and quickly crossed the road to avoid them. "Oh God, please don't let the party be at our place," she prayed. She waited until the truck was far enough away that she could no longer read the words on the bumper sticker, "Save the whales, harpoon a fat chick," before resuming her slow walk. She cut through the park, where a couple of families were cooking on the council barbecues, the sweet, heavy smell of onions and sausages making her empty stomach rumble. A pack of kids dropped their bikes to play on the equipment, and she watched the younger ones begin a game of hide and seek. 10, 9, 8, 7. The little girl who was it peeked through her fingers as the others went to hide, then started guiltily when she realised Jack had seen her cheating. Jack held her finger to her lips conspiratorially as she passed her, and the child returned the sign with sly pleasure before taking off after her friends. Jack's pace slowed when she reached the other end of the park. Saturday night was Calman's big drinking night, sometimes at the pub, but more often crashed in front of the telly, watching the footy. If he was going to be home, she was in no hurry to get there, especially if he had his workmates from the mines around. She clambered up onto an empty picnic table, arranged herself cross-legged in the centre, and rummaged through her bag. She lit a cigarette from the pack she'd stolen from the servo a few days ago, then tapped out a series of smoke rings, tilting her head to admire them as they dissolved into the night sky. "Hey, come back!" One of the mothers of the hide-and-seekers hurried to round up the pack of children, who, absorbed in their game, had spread out across the park. She eyed Jack disapprovingly, and Jack returned the look with lazy insouciance, then casually blew a smoke ring in her direction. The woman's lips tightened. "Come on, stay on this side of the park where I can see you," she scolded, shepherding the children away with a final hard glare at Jack. Jack made a pillow of her bag and lay watching them until they packed up, the children protesting noisily at the termination of their game. She sat and stretched. By her estimation, it was around 8:30, still early. The leaves on the trees were morphing from distinct shapes to a dim blur, although these days darkness didn't descend fully until 9 o'clock or even later. She knew what to expect if she went home. The Saturday night footy would only have just started, and the men would have sunk a few drinks. In another hour or so, they'd get hungry and maybe order pizza, or else they'd run out of booze, so someone would risk making the late night drive to the bottle shop. Then more drinking, possibly an argument or even a fight, in which case the neighbours might phone the police. But old Mrs. Gardner next door was frightened of her dad and often pretended to be deafer than she really was. Not that the police did anything anyway. Last time they were called, the younger man put his hand on her bum when he asked if she was all right. She absentmindedly dug her thumb into a deep bruise on her thigh as she considered her options. Sometimes when she didn't want to go home, she went to Cheryl's, but Cheryl lived a fair way out of town, and Jack, for all her bravado, was uneasy about hitchhiking at night. A lone car circled the edge of the park once, then a second time, and she stubbed her cigarette out and lay down flat again until the headlights passed over her. When the car was gone, she grabbed her bag, then jumped down from the table and hurried back towards the centre of Lowbridge.